I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Who keeps laughing at my mistakes? All right. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Matthew chapter 5. We're talking about living the Beatitudes. This is a series. But I just felt like that there's something, a few things I needed to get to on this pure of heart. Because I just see this in our world. Matthew chapter 5. And I'll just skip right on down. It says, verse number 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." In other words, you're feeling down at the bottom, you've got access to the kingdom of God. Whatever God has, you have access to that. If you feel like you're on the bottom rung or having a terrible time in your life, God just wants you to know, you know what? You have access to the kingdom, and everything that He has is all available to you. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Comfort's on the way for those that mourn. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure, for they shall pure in heart, for they shall see God." And that's what we're going to revisit again today. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." How many knows Jesus would never tell you to do anything you can't do? When you're being persecuted and you feel the pressures, He said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." You have the power through Jesus Christ to have the attitude and the right frame of mind regardless of what you're going through in this life. And He says, "For great is your reward in heaven." In other words, payday someday. Everybody say payday someday. How many likes payday? I love payday, don't you? You know, all I say is it my payday or your payday? And I don't really care which one it is, do you? Because we share. So, they persecuted the prophets before you. So it's nothing uncommon. This is common to man. Everything we go through is common to man. We think we have special cases. But today we want to focus in part two on blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we talked about last week the pure of heart. How many knows, and I love the songs you guys did today. That was right on target with this first point I wanted to bring back to light, and that is, how many knows how we're made pure in heart? We're made pure in heart through the cleansing blood of Jesus. It's not our work. It's not our worth. You know, He proved our worth when He went to the cross for us. He proved our worth to Him when He created us. He breathed our first breath. How many knows our first breath came from God Himself? He created us, fashioned us, and breathed into us. And so our first breath that mankind took came from Him. So as we breathe in and out, it is all started. The first pump, the first breath came from God, and He started. That's how much He loves us. Made us in His image, in the image of God, and gave us intellect and the ability to love and to feel and to hurt and to experience life and the relationship with Him. And it's an awesome thing, isn't it? That this creation that He created. And I'm fascinated with people. Everywhere I go, I love to just sit down and meet people and talk to them about their life and what makes them tick and what they love and what they're headed for. This week I was in Mill Creek, Oklahoma, little bitty town, and I was coaching a principal and a superintendent is in their office, and they're wanting to really advance their school and bring up some scores. And so we're just sitting there, and we're talking about dreams with them, and you could see their lights coming on as I was coaching them, and I thought, this is just so cool. I love to see people getting in, you know, having a vision to do something for the kingdom of God and seeing what really needs to be seen. And it takes a pure heart, doesn't it? It takes a pure heart to really see what's going on around us and what it's really like. And here's my concern for us Americans is that we it's not that we're bad. I think most of us have a good intent, but our heart is not where it needs to be on the pure side because we don't get enough of the Word of God. How many knows Jesus came and He purified our heart? 1 John 1:7, "For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." So the initial cleansing came from Jesus. But how many knows there's a walk that we have to walk? Those that walk according to the Spirit and not after the flesh, there is no condemnation in them. So there's a walk, once the blood has been applied, that we have to begin to walk. And just like with King David, you remember he was close. Most of the Psalms you read comes from the praiser King David. He had a great heart and a great love for God. But when the day he was on his palace and he looked out and he lusted after Bathsheba, and then he followed that lust and he found out she's married and just continued right on with that because of his authority. I'm the king. I can have whatever woman I want. And that's true, king, you can. But not without the consequences. And it's the same for you and I today. We can have whatever we want in life, but not without the consequences or the blessings and the benefits. How many knows we should talk more about blessings and benefits because we're staying in the purity of God's Word? God's Word. David then said it like this. My word have I hid in my heart. I'm going to take your word and I'm going to hide it in my heart so I don't do that anymore. I don't want to go through that anymore. Remember the story, and then he tried to cover up his adulterous affair with Bathsheba, and then he literally has her husband killed as he puts her on the firing line in war and pulls the troops back and he's killed and tries to do a big cover-up. How many knows you can't cover up sin from God? None of the rest of us may know, but God knows. When you lay down at night, God knows, and you're either under blessing or judgment. And so, the pure in heart shall see God. And then we took you, remember last week, to the talents of and it says the kingdom of heaven is like. And we went through that, and so for some of you maybe weren't here, what we talked about was this. God, the master there represents God, and he gave one man five talents, and he gave one two, and he gave one. And the Bible says, according to their own ability. And so he knew, this master knew their ability. How many knows when God gives you a gift, he knows your ability? And so he gives you a gift, and you may be like me. When I first started trying to sing publicly, it just scared the daylights out of me. I mean, I stand up and look like a big shotgun sticking in my face to the microphone, and I sweat coming out, and my voice is cracking because I'm so... But I knew he gave me a little gift, and I'm not the best singer, but I've used that to bless people. I knew when God... My first sermon was about 5 minutes long, and through the whole sermon I was doing this. They recorded it. Hallelujah. I know why they had to record it. Really discouraging. I listened to it back and it was about 5 minutes and I thought I preached the whole Bible. I thought I preached everything I know. I can now what do? I'm done. 5 minute sermon and the Bible says if you have your Bible turn with me to and I did that the whole service. But I had something in me and I knew it was my gift to communicate the gospel and I thought so I had to get over it, but the thing is, if you have gifts and there's faults and flaws and you fumble around in it, you may want to not use it. But let me tell you something: if you'll stay in the Word of God, your vision will come more clear, and you'll get better at what you're called to do, and it will be fulfilling to you. I don't know why he didn't just make it. If he's going to ask you to speak, just make you polished right off the bat. You know, you can just get up and just. I don't know why, you know, but he didn't. I mean, knows when you got a gift, you got to develop it and work on it and be a good steward over it. And same thing with your resources. Here's a sad fact I told our congregation for some of you who weren't here last week. I'll give it to you. The money you have in the bank is what God can trust you with right now. He could trust me with a lot more. No. That's why you have the money you got in your bank right now, because that's what God can trust you with right now. It's a happy fact and a sad fact, isn't it? For some of us. And so whatever it is you're stewarding, your talents are the same way. Your talents will only be as good as what you steward them and develop them. So he gives the five talents to the one, and guess how many he produces? He knew his servants. He knew, and they produced five more. He gave one two, and guess how many he produced? Two more. He gave one talent, knowing he could produce that. And here's what we talked about last week, and I want to give you, here's where we're going to kind of wrap it up and close it up that I didn't get to last week. The guy that he gave one talent, he took his talent and he went and dug a hole, hid it in the ground, and the guy says when he came back that represents Christ, he said, if you could have only taken my money and put it in the bank, I'd have had interest and I'd have been happy because you've done something of value with the gift I gave you. And I would have been happy with that. And so, but here's the part that we need to get a hold of. The guy that took his money and wasn't happy, he told the master, he said, you know, I know you as a hard man. And we talked about the lens. Remember the lens we talked about last week? The lens is how you see something and how you see an individual, a situation, and we all have different lens. Every one of us that came in this morning, we've got different lens. And your lens was basically created in how you see things from the environment you grew up in, good or bad, from the life experiences you've had, good or bad, the culture that you grew up in, good or bad. Last Sunday, the Thelma A and Thelma B took us out. That's what we call them. Took us out to lunch for Jana's birthday, and I was blessed to go along with them because I'm her husband. We're one. If you take Jana out, you get me. And so they took us out, and they start talking about culture and how their mothers in the black culture, how they didn't just give you a whipping, they gave you a whipping. And said some of their siblings kind of had some bad feelings about that and didn't understand where they had come because they had been given a whipping when they were kids and how and how it evolved. And it probably wasn't even severe, really, you know, because each is different. But that was the culture you grew up in. And some of you grew up in a culture that was different from me and different from each other. But all of that and how you looked at that, that's created your lens on how you see things today. I can guarantee you that about every person in this building. That's how you see life. Some of you look at the economy right now and say, economy, you know, that's silly. I mean, just go out and work hard and God will bless it. That's the way some of you look at it. And some of you say, the economy's terrible. I don't know what we're going to do. That's the way some of you look at it. And guess what? You live in the same economy. But you're not looking through the same lens. You're looking through different lens. When the elder gets up here and he talks about the blessings of God and he's beginning to take an offering, and he wants you to realize that the connection of giving and receiving blessing back again is connected. He's trying to make you and I aware that there's a connection here. And if you want to be a bountiful giver, he said there's bountiful blessings for you. If you want to give sparingly, there's not much blessing in it for you. And he's given us biblical principles so it'll change our lens. I never knew, for instance, about tithing until one day it just touched me and my lens just switched. It just like click, click, you know, and it switched. I walked out of the church as a new Christian. I told Janet, we're going to start tithing. And she said to me, she said, well, how much is it? And I said, well, 10% of this week. And I was a young contractor back then. And I said, this is this much. She said, I don't think we have that much. I said, well, let's check. And so we checked in the bank and we had just that much. Isn't that awesome? And she said to me, she said, well, what are we going to do for groceries? And I said, I don't know, I haven't got that far yet, but we're going to give our tithe. And then I said, so we gave our tithe, and I said, oh, I know what we'll do. We have a brother-in-law. I'm going to go borrow grocery money from him. And that's how I started tithing. But when the lens changed for me, it just changed. And we've always given, and God's blessed us tremendously financially. But it started with just my lens change one day. It just changed. But our environment, the events, the experiences you've had, that's how you look at everything. And what God tells us from His Word is there are times when your environment and your lens needs to be changed when you come to Christ. How many knows I love my enemies now? I don't fret over my enemies anymore because now I can pray for them at night and somebody comes against me or slanders my name or whatever. It doesn't take me long at all to get over that because I know it's not about me, it's about them. But I had to learn that. I had to change my lens because before that I was like, if you mean to me, I'm mean to you. You want to play mean, I can play mean. God's given me a little gift here to talk so I can really bring it out. You want to exchange verbal jabs, I can jab with you. I'm like Muhammad Ali in the verbal arena, you know. It's just a gift. And so you have to learn if you've got the gift of gab and you can communicate, you have to learn it. You know what? You can use it as for a blessing or you can use it as a curse to hurt you. And so I had to learn, it's not, my lens had to change to say, I didn't win if I won an argument and the other person feels bad. I didn't win, I just lost. See, my lens had to change. Let me give you an example. How many of you ever watched some of the TV shows and they talk about the people that hoard all the time? It's like, how did their lens get that distorted? I mean, the cameras that go in the house and they didn't grow up that way. Their family will tell you, they didn't grow up that way. But now the cameras go in their house and they're just burying themselves alive in junk up to here and some up to the ceiling almost. And they're just burying themselves alive. And they're like, and you and I can't understand, how did their lens get so distorted? But here's what I can tell you with assurance. Somewhere in their life, they had a scarcity mindset to them. They've done without for some length of time, or they thought, man, if I had just kept that, or I should have kept that, or I needed that. A lot of the older generations that you go out in the country and you look around their farms, they had stuff laying around everywhere. And you say, well, you got that out here. Well, we might need that someday. And that's somewhat good stewardship if they'll use it, but if it's just sitting there rusting and not, you know, it's not good stewardship, but a scarcity, those that came through the Great Depression, you know, you might use a plastic bag 3 or 4 times before you throw it away. The generation now, they'll use a baggie once and chunk it. Some of the older generation came through the Depression. They'll pull off a little paper, roll off the paper towel, and they'll use it once, and they'll lay it out there and let it dry, and they'll use it again. Not most of us. We'll just tear one off, 2 or 3, and throw it away. It's a lens. And then they'll tell you, if you could see through these lens, you might not be so wasteful. Summer gets she makes fun of me and Jana because we'll get plastic cups from the store, and we'll keep them and wash them. She said, you guys make good money and you keep plastic cups. I said, that's how we got everything we got today. Those plastic cups right there. I mean, no, it's not, but it helps. And we do that because if we want to take a drink and head out the door, we take it with us. And we're not concerned. It's a disposable cup, but it solves what our lifestyle. It's our lenses, and so we do that. But like for a hoarder, how in the world did they ever get that place? Well, it's life experience, what they've experienced and what they thought about that experience and what they think now, how they see things. And so when they see a piece of trash, they're through with their happy meal or their lunch or whatever. They can't throw everything away. They got to put the sacks here and just, you know, there might be something in there I need. And so they just keep it. And they can't help it. Their lens is distorted, and that's what they... And we think it's terrible, don't we? We think, how could your lens get to that point? But let me give you something for us that's just about as bad. We have all this stuff in America. Most of us drove. I asked Carla, how'd you get here? Come know about it. She said, a car. There's smart idiots just like Carla all over our building. You know, that's what you would have said. That's what I would have said. And you know what? Most of us showed up in a car this morning. Did you enjoy your car? You know, I drive a truck, and it's an older truck, it's an 04 truck, and I keep a lot of junk in it when I restore homes on the side, and if I'm restoring a home, I'll have all kinds of tools in it and stuff, and so for a while, it just looks like a hoarder's truck. But once I'm done, I clean it all up, it looks nice, and so I told Jana that day, when she was wanting to go out after work and get some, we talked about getting some flowers for our fall stuff for our garden, and I said, you don't take the truck? Oh, let's don't take the truck. I said, I drive the truck everywhere. She might have the truck. Because she's got a nicer car sitting there. I said, you want to put that stuff in your car? Oh, yeah, we'll put some plastic out. And then I know people that's got new cars, and then they buy an old car and drive the old car around while their new car sits in the garage, because that's the way their lens is hooked up. I thought, if I buy a new car, I'm going to drive a new car. But that's not the way their lens is hooked up. And I know a lot of people. I talked to a truck driver the other day. That's what he's got, a 95, and it looks like brand new because he bought a little old bitty truck and he drives that around everywhere. Well, this new truck sits in the garage and low mileage. 95 model, like 30,000 miles on it because he drives an old truck. My lens isn't hooked up like that. I don't know what he's waiting on. Waiting on a special moment? I don't know. Sundays to church? I don't know. But here's the lens I'm concerned with us Americans. We have so much stuff, and yet stress has distorted our lens. I mean, stress is such a subtle enemy of our vision to see clearly. And I'm really concerned about the body of Christ right now in stress, because it just changes stuff. It changes stuff that's precious to us, like our kids. I see parents and children not getting along and having real battles because stress has just clouded our lens. I see family members. One of my sisters called last night, and she's stressed to the max. I have our prayer warriors praying for her, but she just, you know, my mother is probably on her last few days here on this planet, and so she said, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to pray for mother's comfort and peace and a happy departure. How many of those? Part of our lens should be as Christians that we're excited about the next part of our journey. Now I'm in no hurry. But you know what I mean? We should be excited about it. We shouldn't have the same kind of a heavy heart that non-Christians have. Because when we leap from here over into eternity, that's when our life really begins. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. You know, death can't have any more reign over us. But as long as we're in this system, the moment you're born, the death process starts. It just keeps ticking. And all of us have a certain amount of ticks left. Every one of us. Death rate so far in America is 100%. Just like that, every day. Your heart just beat and it just took off one that you'll never get back. And you're gone. Some's getting married and going to college and some's retiring. Dave come in and is going to retire in February. Ask me if I'd be around. Like I heard something that I'm not going to make it till February, you know. But he wants to know if I'll sing the national anthem at his retirement. Isn't that an honor? I said, you bet I will. I'll be there and I'll practice and I'll sing gooder. That's my favorite commercial right now. You seen that commercial? This lady's standing there and she's lost weight. She's saying, she's just trying to show these girls she looks gooder or how good she looks. And one of them says, oh, have you tried this? They're advertising some product. And she says, have you tried this? And says, oh, that is gooder. And the other lady says, oh, it's better than gooder. And they won't pay attention to her because of this product she's brought out to them. She said, ladies, there's no such thing as gooder. And they said, well, Jane, you look gooder. She said, I do. Her whole focus shifts. Because you got a compliment. I think that is so typical of us Americans, not just ladies, but you know, if we can get a compliment, we don't care if the grammar's right, if it's true, or you know, that's our lens right now. Just compliment me. But I'm concerned with us because stress has changed our lens to the place where we can't. If we got a new car, it's hard to enjoy it. We won't leave it in the garage. Don't want it to get scratched or don't you know. If we have a nice home, we're stressed. Are we going to make the payments? And what's the economy going to do? And you know what is it? And we just stress about everything. And here's the cure. Listen to me. If you don't get anything else, get this. Here is the cure. The pure in heart shall see God. And I'm telling you, if our vision and our eyes are clear about who God is and seeing Him for who He is and what He is and what He is to us, that's seeing God, then I'm telling you, everything else is going to be okay. So our focus has to be, it has to be on this Word. He said, like David said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. Our focus partly needs to be here in a good balanced manner. So when we look at God and we look at our situation and we look at everything, then we're looking with clear and accurate focus lens. It's the only way to beat the stress thing. I'm telling you. This is the answer to all your stress. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So your faith level comes up when you get in this. I don't feel like it does. What? Don't worry about your feelings. That's what's got us in the mess we're in now. We feel like. I don't feel like I'm going to make it. I feel like, you know, I don't feel very well. I wonder what's wrong. I hope it's not cancer. I want, you know, and we just start running down a path. Just like my sister that called last night with my mother, just stressing out. What are we going to do? I thought we're gonna be here for her and we're gonna comfort her as much as we can and pray for her and have our prayer partners pray for her and God will give her the strength and blessing and peace she needs to take this next journey. That's all we can do. I mean, notice when it comes to your time, I can't help you anymore. When it comes to my time, you can't help me no more. I mean, it's my time. I shouldn't need your help other than just to love me and pray for me and support me and because I'm looking forward to it. I've got a request when my time comes that He'll come pick me up in a fiery chariot. So if something in Oklahoma City, the day I die, it's Oklahoma City, and they say there's some kind of strange fiery thing in the air last night. I mean, he did it for the prophet, and I thought, well, he might do it for me. You have not because what? you ask not. So just, you know, he loves me. He sent his son to die for me. Surely he'll send a fiery chariot if I ask. Surely. Is that such a bizarre request? Some of you need to expand your imagination with heaven. You think there's little fat angels flying around and we're just going to sit around and hum and sing songs. I don't think so. That's not my lens. We're going to do all kinds of exciting things. It's better than we can think or ask. And I can think or ask about a lot of things. Can't you? I'm going to take walks with Jan in the sunshine for millions and millions of years and just love on her. That's just what I love to do here, and I'll do some more of that there. I'll love on my grandkids, my kids, and for millions of years because they know Christ. And they're invited to the family reunion. Proverbs 17:3, the Living Bible says, silver and gold are purified by fire, but God purifies the hearts. You want a pure heart? Stay close to God. And whatever that means to you, stay close to God. To me, it means I get up and I just say a simple little prayer and I talk to Him all day long. We just have conversations, and you know, that's one of my big fears in life. Is the older I get, I talk to Him more, and I thought, you know, people's going to think, you know, I used to wonder, what is them old people talking about? Now I know. They're just talking to their father, and they don't care what anybody thinks. I was walking the track the other day, and a guy come around, and he had the headphones on. You know, how do you do with the headphones on? And I told Jan, I said, that sounds silly, doesn't it? She said, yeah. I said, he probably don't care what we think. He's just enjoying his walk. You know? We need to get to that point where we don't care what people think. It's a beautiful day. You got your headphones on. If you want to sing and like you're tone deaf, just sing. Change your lens. Pride and stress and all that stuff keeps us from having fun. I think if I see him again, I'm going to give him a high five, say, sing. You have a beautiful voice. Sing. Stop stressing, but you'll never stress if you don't get in this and say, I'm not going to stress anymore. When Jana was wrestling with her job situation, I said, honey, I don't really care what you do. I said, if you're not happy, though, I don't want you to go back. I don't care what they offer you or what your promotion is. Don't stay. Go be happy, because I'm going to be happy. It's hard to be happy when she's not happy. I don't care what you make. Just be happy. That's the main thing. Be happy. And so change your lens. You can be happy right where you are today. I want to leave you that. You can be happy today right where you are if you'll change your lens. Nothing has to change but your lens. The way you see things, the way you act, the way you react to situations. The pure in heart shall see God. And if you can find God in any situation you're facing, whether it's your kids, your family, your home, your finances, your vocation, whatever it is, if you can see God clearly in it, you can be happy. My superintendent called me this week and he said, Jack, I've got a problem. I said, Andy, I need your help. I said, okay, what you need? If I can, I'll help you. And he said, well, I've double booked. And he said, I need you to speak to some men. I said, well, I'd probably do that. Where's it at? And he said, well, it's northwest of Cherokee, that casino thing, Cherokee, whatever it's called, up there, northwest of Tulsa, and it's northwest of there. And I said, when is it? He said, on a Saturday. Boy, it's going down the ladder. All, you know, it's just. And I said, well, what time? And he said, 8 o'clock. And I thought, oh. Well, you wouldn't have to leave the city till 6 o'clock. Oh, but they'll pay you well, and they'll feed you like a steak breakfast. It's an awesome breakfast. And then it'll be like 70 to 150 men there. Now, used to, my lens, I'd have just jumped on that because I love to speak and stuff. But I thought, Saturday morning, 6 o'clock, that's when I got to leave. It's going to spend a whole day, and it's going to take a day away from my wife and me and on our day. I said, no, thank you. Because my lens has changed. Now, as a young communicator, I'd have jumped on that. But I'm not jumping so far now, so fast. Because I want to add value to people for the rest of my life. That's part of what I want to do, just like I did this week with Bible students and school officials. And I want to add value to people for the rest of my life, but I want to do it so it glorifies God in every area of my life, not just for me. Not just for me. And I hope that's what you do. Just change your lens. Is this good for me? Is Weatherford, Oklahoma good for you? Sounds like it. Change your lens. Is retirement good for you? Sounds like it. Just be focus with that. Where are you and what are you doing right now? Is it? But don't stress. You don't have to stress. If you stress from this day forward, it's your fault. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's about time for you to walk out, so I better hurry and close. I heard a story and I thought, you know, it really resonates with what I've been teaching in the last couple of weeks. So that years and years ago, there was an old man, wise man, that sat at the gate of his city. And said a traveler came through one day and asked the old man, said, "What are the people like that live here?" And I thought, this is so cool. The old man asked him, said, "What are the people like where you come from?" He said, "You know, they're just really, they're kind of hateful, and everybody's looking out for themselves and greedy." And said, "Hardly anybody will help you do anything." And he said, "Not very good, really." He said, "That's the same kind of people you'll find in my city." Said later on that day, another traveler came by and said, asked the old man, said, "What kind of people you have here in your city?" And he said, "Well, what kind of people do you have in your city?" And said the man said, "You know, where I come from," said, "everybody's pleasant and they help each other. Most of them give you the shirt off their back. And just all around good people where I come from." The old man said, "That's the same kind of people you'll find here." So here's my question to you. What kind of people live in your city? What do you say about the people in your city? Jen and I, we've been privileged to travel in several different countries and different events, vacationing, missions and stuff. And everywhere I go, I just find good people for the most part. I've had people tell me, for her 50th, I took her to New York. You know, we spent a week in New York in Times Square. And some people before we went, they said, "Oh, New Yorkers are rude and they're crude and they're..." And we met a lot of people, but almost everybody we met was just pleasant and helpful. "Oh, have you guys been down to here yet? And have you seen this? And you got to go over here." And you know why? Because that's what we're looking for. What's your family look like? What kind of family do you have? If you say, "Oh, my family," you don't want to see my family. You need to change your lens. I can tell you that. Because your family is not a lot different from my family. Oh, yes, they are. They are, because that's the way you see them and that's the way you've been conditioned to see them. And I'm telling you, if you'll change your lens and you'll start loving them and giving them the benefit of the doubt and just loving them right where they are and change your lens, I'm telling you, God will change your family. So what does the people look like where you come from? That's what you need to answer today. And if it don't look good, let's let the Holy Spirit right now just change our lens. What do the people look like at work where you come from? "I can't stand the people at my work." I'd like to ask them what they think about you. Listen, you got to change your lens. If there's a group around you, there's a thing around you, you got to change your lens. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us an eye exam today. May we see with a pure heart. As we begin to take on and harbor hurt and bitterness or anger or stress, or we begin to gripe and complain or gossip or lust or greed or anything that doesn't look like Christ, that you call sin, we ask you right now to purify us. It all starts through the purifying blood of Jesus Christ that was just brought to us so beautifully in our praise team this morning. We ask you to help us to visit the cross right now so we can be cleansed and purged this morning in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would just begin to, as you purify our heart, help us to take the next step and to stay in your word so our hearts can be pure and our days can be pure. And as we see something in your word, may it come alive to us, and may we, instead of trying to change the word to fit us, that we'll change us to fit the word so that our heart on a daily basis will be pure. I know, Lord, you said if we have a pure heart, we'll see God. And I know if we see God, that everything will be okay. Everyone will look better and purer, and they'll be in focus the way we need to be focused. And so we thank you for keeping our heart pure so we can see exactly what's going on around us. For those maybe that's got generations of hurt and their lens has been distorted through misuse and abuse, I pray that you'll change them today. Purify their heart. Let them forgive and lay that baggage down at the cross today. And maybe they come away restored and healed today. And maybe their lens be changed forever. In the name of Jesus. The only lens changer that can change those sort of lens. Through His purifying blood. Through His accomplished work on the cross. May their lens be changed forever now in the name of Jesus. Help us to lay it down and pick up the new lens that you'd have us to look through so we can love our neighbors, ourselves. So that we can enjoy what we have instead of stressing out every day about what we have and what's going on in our lives. Let us see the blessing and the good in everything around us because we're looking for the good. Let us see the good in every person around us, even those that despise us. Let us see the good in them and give you praise for that and pray for them and watch you restore and heal. Change our lens today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And while Christians praying heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Christ, let me say this. If you need Christ or if you need a lens change today, if you'd raise your hand, I'd just like to pray over you.